Today, investors dump buy now, pay later stocks as the one-time favourite sector falls from grace. That's our main story. Also this morning, job ads hit a 13-year high, the corporate regulator warns around claiming to be green, and a remarkable story of a listed company's board fighting with its CEO. It's Tuesday, the 7th of December, 2021. Welcome to Fear and Greed, the business podcast that sets you up for a successful day. I'm Michael Thompson, and good morning, Sean Aylmer.
Morning, Michael.
Then stay listening for Sean's chat to the CEO of a new fund aiming to make a difference to gender equality around the world. But first, Sean, as I mentioned, the steam appears to have run out of the buy now, pay later operators, including a big sell-off yesterday. What's going on?
Well, in recent weeks, investors on Wall Street and in Australia have taken a much dimmer view of technology companies not earning profits. That's what happens when uncertainty hits the market, and right now there's plenty of uncertainty, mostly around the Omicron variant of COVID and fears about inflation. Many buy now, pay later groups don't make profits, and it was a particularly rough day for them yesterday. But this trend has been going on for months. The share prices of buy now, pay later companies surged as investors piled into the concept of a new payment system a couple of years ago. But new competitors, fears of regulation, and a lack of earnings has really knocked the stuffing out of the buy now, pay later groups. Now, there's fear of stress among their customers. A survey of financial counsellors released yesterday said that buy now, pay later services are leading to greater financial stress. The industry itself refutes that idea, saying its customers are no more financially stressed than the general population.
Maybe, but investors are clearly selling out of the sector.
They sure are. The market leader Afterpay fell 4% yesterday. It's down nearly 20% in the last month. Now, it's a bit more complicated for Afterpay. US payments group Square is buying the company. Square's share price is falling, so that hurts Afterpay. Remember, Afterpay shareholders will receive 0.375 Square shares per Afterpay share. That suggests an implied value of about $97 for Afterpay shares right now. Now, that's about $4 more than what Afterpay is currently trading at. Let's move away from Afterpay, though. Zipco fell 10% yesterday. It's now down almost 30% over the past month. Sezzle dropped 16% yesterday. It's about one-third the value of what it was 6 months ago. Splitit was down 6% yesterday, and it's off nearly 30% over the past month. Humm did pretty well, falling only slightly yesterday, but it's still off 30% over the past 6 months. Michael, I think it's fair to say the buy now, pay later market darlings of the pandemic are market darlings no more.
Some of those drops are pretty extraordinary.
They sure are, in just 4 weeks. Incredible.
That's amazing. All right, so aside from the buy now, pay laters, how did the rest of the markets perform?
Well, the S&P ASX 200 finished flat yesterday to close at 7,245 points. It was actually trading in the red all day until a late afternoon surge. Utilities and consumer staples did well, while the tech sector was sold off hard. Among the large caps, the banks all rose. Woolworths jumped 2.5%, while Wesfarmers was up more than 2%. BHP and Rio Tinto both fell back, as did Xero and REA Group.
Okay, and what happened in overseas markets?
Well, Michael, markets rebounded after the heavy selling of late last week. In early afternoon trading, the Dow Jones Industrial Average and S&P 500 were both up around 2%. The tech-heavy NASDAQ was up 1%. One stock not doing so well on Wall Street is Tesla. So far, it's down more than 6%, taking the drop over the past month to 23%. It's down after reports that regulators opened an investigation into the electric vehicle company. European markets were also higher overnight. Bitcoin recovered some ground and the Aussie dollar is trading at 70.4 US cents. Oil is also up a bit. Before I leave global markets, there were some notable moves in China yesterday. Evergrande, the struggling property group, fell 12% to an 11-year low after the group said there was no guarantee it would have enough money to meet debt repayments. And Alibaba sank nearly 8% after it appointed some new senior managers. Perhaps investors are wondering who's pulling the strings at that company.
We'll be back in a moment with the rest of the day's business news. Sean, there's plenty of stories around this morning. The ANZ job ad series hit a 13-year high last month, which is great news for the economy.
Sure is. The easing of lockdowns has turbocharged the employment market. That's basically the bottom line. The ANZ job series rose by more than 7% last month and shows that more than 222,000 positions were available across the country. Job ads are now more than 40% above their pre-pandemic level. That's good news for the employment market, obviously, particularly given the unemployment rate jumped from 4.6% to 5.2% during October. However, it won't sway the Reserve Bank board. It meets today. The outcome of those deliberations will be released at 2:30 this afternoon. It's all about the language the bank uses and whether the board has shifted from its central case scenario that the official cash rate won't increase until 2024.
Sean, Queensland will end quarantine for interstate arrivals from Monday morning when 80% of residents in the state over the age of 16 are expected to have been vaccinated. Great news.
It's very welcome news, Michael, as school holidays kick off. It will be the first time since July that people will be able to freely enter the state, and international arrivals who have been vaccinated can quarantine at home. In other COVID news yesterday, New South Wales reported 208 cases of COVID, and there are now 25 confirmed cases of the Omicron variant. Victoria recorded 1,073 cases and 6 deaths, and there were 6 cases recorded in the ACT. In the Northern Territory, the lockdown of Katherine will continue until at least tomorrow after a COVID case was detected in a 3-year-old girl.
Sean, I mentioned this one at the top of the show. The corporate regulator has warned listed companies that they need to go beyond big statements when it comes to net zero targets.
The Australian Securities and Investments Commission's Cathy Armour yesterday warned that the regulator is looking much more closely at climate-related disclosures. There's been plenty of companies, and governments for that matter, making really big claims and big statements about reducing emissions. But ASIC wants to see action as well. For companies hoping to list, they'll have to have concrete plans to reduce emissions to keep ASIC happy. This is going to be a big task for executives. While new international standards will be developed as a result of the United Nations Climate Change Summit in Glasgow last month, companies need to start working right now to achieve and report emissions reductions. It's just not clear how it should be done. This isn't just to comply with regulators anymore. Investors are demanding it too. A big challenge for corporates.
We talked earlier about the markets, but there's been plenty of shifting around within the ASX 100 and ASX 200 in recent weeks.
Yes, and this rebalancing is really significant because many investors only look at the top 100 companies or the top 200 companies. Exchange-traded funds can use the top 100 or 200 companies as cutoff points. Professional analysts generally don't look beyond the top 200. There's all sorts of reasons why it matters. So a company really wants to be on the top 100 or otherwise on the top 200. There's a regular quarterly rebalance, and that occurred last Friday afternoon. But also several companies have delisted because of mergers and acquisitions activity. So new slots have opened up. Lithium group Pilbara Minerals joins the top 100 after Spark Infrastructure, which was bought by a group led by PE company KKR, delisted. That should add support to the miner. Sandfire Resources re-entered the top 200 as a result. Another lithium producer, Orocobre, joined the top 100 as part of the regular rebalancing, and that replaced Link Administration, which fell out and is now a top 200 company. Oil Search shareholders will vote today on the merger with Santos. That will open up another slot. A couple to fall out of the top 200, and this is significant, were pandemic darlings Kogan.com and Redbubble. Both their share prices tumbled yesterday as a result. So too engineering group Monadelphous. Basically, they haven't performed well enough to stay in the top 200. What's really important here is this rebalancing either supports a company, in the case of Pilbara Minerals and Orocobre, or dumps a company, in the case of Redbubble and Kogan.com.
All right. Now, there's a racy story, if that's the right word, around vehicle parts company Bapcor, which owns Autobarn and Midas, among others.
I'd call it an almighty spat between the outgoing chief executive and the board. The chair of the board yesterday announced that CEO Darryl Obotomy would leave the company immediately. Now, 2 weeks ago, Mr. Obotomy announced he would retire on February 28 next year. But yesterday, the board said there had been a marked deterioration in the relationship between the outgoing CEO and the board, and Mr. Obotomy was out the door. Now, in corporate speak, a marked deterioration is just about as aggressive as it gets. Mr. Obotomy was CEO for more than 10 years and is well-liked by the market. It isn't clear why he's been forced to leave immediately, though the board announcement yesterday said it was looking for a more contemporary leadership for the company. Babcorp's share price fell another 5.6% yesterday and is down 20% over the past fortnight when the original announcement was made. By yesterday afternoon, the group's website had been updated and Mr. Obotomy was nowhere to be seen. Quite a story.
Okay, Sean, what's making headlines in today's news media?
Well, the Financial Review is reporting that Australians are paying more personal income tax as a share of government revenue than any other advanced economy, with the exception of Denmark, according to an OECD report. Bloomberg is reporting that Jeff Bezos announced $443 million in donations to climate organisations overnight as the world's second richest person ramps up his philanthropy. And the New York Times is reporting that Myanmar's military regime has reduced ousted leader Aung San Suu Kyi's jail term to 2 years after she was found guilty of inciting violence in a special court hearing.
Running through some of the other stories around today, Prime Minister Scott Morrison yesterday said former New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian would be very welcome as a federal Liberal MP if she decided to run and win against independent Zali Steggall in the Sydney seat of Warringah. The number of federal MPs encouraging Ms. Berejiklian keeps growing just a month after she fronted the New South Wales Independent Commission Against Corruption.
CSL lost a court challenge to overturn a US Customs and Border Protection Agency's decision to ban Mexican citizens from crossing into the US to donate blood plasma. Okay, it won't make much of a difference to CSL's revenue, Michael, but I think it's really interesting that CSL has 15 centres in the United States within walking distance of the Mexican border.
15 centres?
15 centres.
Oh, there you go. I have definitely learned something today. Now, Sean, Sigma Healthcare, the wholesale and retail pharmaceutical company, has cut its earnings guidance, triggering a near 7% drop in its share price. A delayed rollout of a new software system along with lockdowns caused the downgrade.
Boral has done a deal to sell its North American fly ash business for $1.1 billion. It's the end of a not-so-successful era for Boral, which invested heavily in North America, only to see the business not live up to expectations. The unsuccessful North American business in part allowed Seven Group to become the major shareholder in the building materials company.
And finally, Sean, Metcash has raised its interim dividend after a rise in both revenue and earnings. Its hardware business did very well, with boss Jeff Adams saying it was a very pleasing result for both Metcash and its independent retailers, namely IGA store owners. Metcash's share price jumped 7.3% yesterday. So what's the key overseas news this morning, Sean?
The United States will institute a diplomatic boycott of the Beijing Winter Olympics, according to media reports, a move sure to escalate tensions between the two countries. It means no US government official will go to the Games, which begin on February 4. While few officials were going due to quarantine restrictions, a public announcement of a diplomatic boycott is a very, very loud statement. The US is doing it to protest against human rights abuses in China. And cases of COVID in New Zealand continue to grow, with another 135 infections reported yesterday. The main hotspot is in the Nelson region in the north of the South Island.
Okay, now up next is the Daily Interview, Sean, and today you're speaking to Giles Gunasekara, CEO of GII Global Gender Equality Fund.
Yes, Michael, Giles runs a fund which helps women and girls get greater opportunity. It's interesting both from an impact investing viewpoint, but also from a financial standpoint, because it actually does really, really well.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. It's up next in the Fear and Greed playlist on your podcast platform or at fearandgreed.com.au. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you, Michael.
It's Tuesday, the 7th of December, 2021. Make sure you're following the podcast and join us online on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook. And for those subscribers of the Fear and Greed newsletter, the newsletter's taking a bit of a break over Christmas and we'll be back next year. I'm Michael Thompson, and that was Fear and Greed. Have a great day.